And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. How wise do you think that you are? You think you're very wise? Do you think you are not wise at all? Do you think you're wiser than the average Joe, at least? Not asking a question that you probably don't already ask yourself every day. When you ask yourself things like, do I even know how to do this? Do I know this? Have I forgotten? I just made a fool of myself there. Why did I say that? Why didn't I say this? I wish I was as wise as her or him. When will people catch on that I have no clue what I'm talking about? We get stuck in this endless cycle of believing that we're wiser than anyone else alive, that we know everything, and also that we know nothing, and therefore we're completely worthless. Accumulated all this wisdom and life experience for what? Now, there are days, there are moments, when we realize this is exactly why I was put here on earth. But most days, we struggle. And we grasp to find even an ounce of wisdom to stand on our own. So where are you in the cycle? Is today one of those days where you know everything? A day where you know nothing? Or somewhere in between? Now, I will admit that there are some days where I think I'm pretty wise. I know more than the average Joe. I went to college and seminary, spent 8 years learning the doctrine, the history, the languages, the regula fide, the rule of faith handed down by the apostles. Some days I think I know everything. But yesterday, I got chickens. And I didn't even know how to make them a nest. I guess they're supposed to have water. I've had to make a phone call or two or three to ask about food and predators. This chicken experiment has been a good reminder that I know nothing. Now, everyone has their own chicken problem, the thing that you run up against every day and you just have no idea what to do with it, or what to say, or where to pivot or plan or move. And the negative thoughts come rushing in. Because it always starts with a question, do I know how to do this? And it quickly turns into negative self-talk and doubt. I don't know anything anymore. I know nothing. I'm worthless. I'm just going to make a fool out of myself. I might as well do nothing. I'm not enough. Sometimes there are things that we've spent our entire life and our passion on. We still feel like we know nothing. And the endless cycle begins. Running to things to fill us up with wisdom, things that will make me happy and content. And let's start with the wholesome ways. Sometimes we run to our parents. They're wise. We seek their advice. We confide in them. Or we run to our professors, our teachers, our friends, who, as iron sharpens iron, they are to keep us in line and fill us with wisdom. We run to the university to accumulate more knowledge, assuring the heart that by filling it with things that are true and good and beautiful, that we in turn will become beautiful and good and wise. But even these good attempts and wholesome ways falter. A doctor who spends 12 years in medical school still makes mistakes and misses simple things. And the parent, who's supposed to be the source of wisdom in the home, fails to provide their child with the right word at the right time. And the student, who's accumulating more and more knowledge, begins to realize that the more they know, the more they don't know. And quickly everything can seem meaningless. Where do you go for wisdom? Or have you given up? resigned to a life of simply chasing after the next thrill or rush or high. Because wisdom's for the birds. Give me something that feels good. Satisfy my fleshly desires. There isn't one of us here that is very wise, not one of us, pursues wisdom like the treasure that the scriptures say that it is, finer than gold and precious jewels. None of us gets wisdom right. The places that we look for it, the ways that we handle it, the hard work required to attain it leaves us all running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And it's into this frazzled fray of frustration and high-seeking, hopeless wonders a child came to us. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, a thing that we so desperately crave, yet fall so miserably short, settling for the cheapened, fake versions of the good, true, and beautiful. But this child was truly wise. This child was truly good. He was truly beautiful. But how so? He did not attend a graduate program or earn any degree. He had no place to lay his head at night. His disciples were bumbling fools with no one to sharpen him. How could he be filled with wisdom? The Spirit of God was upon him. The Spirit of God filled him. The Spirit gave him wisdom. And as this child grew, he increased in wisdom more and more. He accumulated it. Now, his disciples who followed him, they would be the first to admit that when they first heard him speak, his words didn't sound very wise. And the things that he did were even more confounding because his words were not words of mere man. They were words of God, spiritual words. Words of spirit and truth. But to the human ear and the human heart, they sounded like foolish words. Consider these words. Jesus says, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And Nicodemus, a mere mortal man, scratches his head and he says, "Well, how can this be?" Jesus says, "You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." The words Jesus speaks are spirit and truth. They sound foolish to the human ear. He says more. Jesus says these words, "Unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is true food. My blood's true drink." Many of his own disciples scratched their heads and turned and walked away from him that day. They said, "Well, how can that be? How can you give us your flesh to eat?" And Jesus says, "The Spirit gives life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and truth. They are life." But to the one who does not believe Jesus' words, who has not been given the Spirit of God to hear, the words of Jesus are foolishness. Just words. Words I don't need to hear. Words I don't need to believe. Words I don't need to understand. Words I definitely don't need to live by. It doesn't sound very wise to the natural mind. And yet the scriptures say this one is filled with wisdom. And he increased in wisdom more and more because the Spirit of God was upon him. But if you think his words are foolish, just watch what he does. St. Paul writes of him in 1 Corinthians. He says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Where's the wise man? Where's the philosopher of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. I resolve to know nothing among you except this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus' death on a cross is the very wisdom of God made manifest in action. This is how we are to know that this one is truly filled with wisdom. The Spirit says, yes. For as he grew and ever closer and closer to that cross, he increased in wisdom. It's why even as a child he goes to the temple. It's why he goes there for 3 days. It's why he sits among the teachers of the law. The Spirit of God was upon him. They're amazed at his teaching, his answers. His parents say, son, why have you treated us so? Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Jesus says. The wisdom of God was upon him, carrying him to the temple, sustaining him to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, leading him to the cross. It was all a working of the Spirit, shown before the whole world when the Son of God stretched out his arms and was pierced for our transgressions. This would be the fullness of God's power and glory, shown to us when Christ was crucified on the cross. He was destined for the cross for your glory before time began. No one understands it. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Paul says that if the rulers of that day would have understood it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He writes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. On the cross, in Jesus, all wisdom is found in Christ crucified. Without him, nothing that was made has been made. In him was life. These words are of Spirit and truth. Christ crucified for you. The water and the Spirit for you. His body and his blood for you. These words of Spirit and truth are for you, and they bring Christ to life in you, his words into your soul, so that you hear and believe. It is all a working of the Spirit through Christ crucified. Paul writes, the natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us, Christ crucified. Dear Christians, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know how to be the best parent or the best student. You don't need to know how to be the best carer of chickens. You don't need to know anything other than this. Jesus Christ and him crucified. For the one who knows this by the Spirit alone who gives life knows far more than the wisest of scholars with all their degrees who don't know Christ crucified. They know more of what it means to be a good parent than the most confident and unfrazzled of parents who don't know Christ crucified. Because your life and your child's life doesn't depend on you getting everything perfect. You can't. Your life and your child's life depends on Christ crucified, hanging on that cross for you and for them, and nothing else matters. Christ crucified is all they need. It's all you need. For this is the word of God, the scriptures say, the word of truth, the word of Spirit and power, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Christ crucified. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not. Amen.